Hut Info News. Information and news for the people. If you're silent, others will speak for you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Fathal Abdelmukhtar, and I'm with my guest right now, Chris Gadsden, who's running for councilman in Ward B in Jersey City. How's it going?
It's going well. Going very well.
Okay. So, first off, start us off with some credentials. Like, tell us what qualifies you to be a councilman.
Well, what qualifies me to be a councilman?
Yeah, credential-wise.
Just to give you a little brief background into my life. Born and raised in Jersey City, educated locally, been an educator for close to 20 years. Part of many civic organizations, advocacy, just an activist on certain issues. And so I think being born and raised in Jersey City, being able to get the pulse and the feel of the community and being able to lend voice to a lot of issues allows you to be an effective council person. It gives you insight into people's lives, into what's going on inside of the city. And so with me being an educator, taking care of over thousands of kids and families throughout my life, now I've taken the responsibility of legislating thousands of kids and families and those in our community. So I've been prepped, I've been well groomed for this new level of service to Jersey City and to the west side of Jersey City. So I've been ready for this moment for like my whole life. This is what I'm destined to do. This is why, you know, we do it.
Believer in fate, I see.
Yeah.
So you're running with Bill Matsakoutis right now. So why are you running with Bill Matsakoutis? What made you choose him instead of Fulop?
The short answer is because I trust Bill more. The long answer is rooted in just personal interactions and just personal dealings, you know, with the mayor. The mayor is a very smart individual. I just don't like his politics. So therefore, you know, you run with someone who you can build an agenda with, you can grow ideas with, you can help move the city forward in more of a community-wide direction where you can have more stakeholders, you can have more sharing, you can have more just collaboration, you can have more community-based leadership. And so I'm building that with Bill Matsakoutis. Not to say that I couldn't do it with Fulop, but just the relationship factor. There's certain things that I value, like trust and transparency and openness that, I didn't believe that I got from the mayor. So I like this relationship. Life is all about relationships.
So you first won your city councilman position in a special election in 2016, correct?
Yes.
So what made you decide to run again for mayor?
No, for council person.
I mean, not for mayor. Sorry, my mistake, guys. Definitely my mistake for council person.
Well, you know, I ran back in 2013 with Jerry Walker. I was on that ticket. I did pretty well for a person who campaigned for about 2 months, garnishing over about 12% of the vote. And in an election where I was outspent. I mean, I only spent like $900, in that race. Chico was a very effective council person. I got into a little trouble and had to step down. I submitted a resume to the city. I didn't get appointed back in May because I wanted to be the appointed council person, being that I was in the race before, being I've done a lot of work in the ward, and I'm just very active in the community. I thought that I would be a likely candidate, but the mayor chose John Hallinan. And so in September of 2016, I just decided whatever to give it another shot. And, we organized relatively quickly, got some friends together, got some organizations together, and, we won. I got, it was real grassroots. It was real door to door. It was real authentic. And so that made it even more rewarding when you were ushered into office by the will of the people, you know, and that was real satisfying. So, you know.
Okay, so let's move on to more of the citywide stuff currently. So, a while back ago, tapes were accidentally recorded on a voicemail, accidentally recorded, I have to emphasize, of top administration officials, specifically Chief of Staff Mohammed Akil and city employee, then chairman of the Jersey City Democratic Organization, Sean Thomas, and this was all in 2014. They were allegedly in an attempt to rig a bid for a specific energy consulting company called Good Energy. What do you think about the administration's attempts to block this, despite a court order?
The short answer, they need to release the tapes. Transparency is what the public is longing for. And, you know, myself, Councilperson Mike Yun, and Councilperson Boggiano, believe in the will of the people to hear the content of the tapes. The mayor did cancel the bid. He did do what he needed to do at that particular time. But folks are concerned about just the discipline. Folks are concerned about the ethics of the situation. And, you know, you can clear everything up by just allowing folks to hear and you know, see for themselves. The public deserves the opportunity to hear the content of the tapes to see if things went wrong. We as a council deserve to hear the content of the tapes because we would want to see if things were done properly, especially when you start talking about you know, contracts and we are the ones who are in charge of the fiscal matters. You know, we legislate and we oversee the fiscal matters of the city. So, you know, we would like to hear. We would like to see.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that other fellow council people that are running, even with Fool Up, or who you're running against, do you think they should also be supporting the release of these tapes, even if they are running with him?
Sure, you should. They all should demand a little more transparency because that's what the public is longing to hear and have us to you know, advocate for. Yep. Mm.
Alright, so now a little bit more into your campaign, the juicy stuff.
Yeah.
Alright, so there's been a lot of talk recently about people getting displaced within the city, having to move out because certain areas have become too expensive. How would you put something forward so that renters and taxpayers won't get displaced again due to the recent gentrification and rising in prices and living here?
Sure. One of the things we voted on as a council earlier this year was, I guess, more rent control, because along with the buying up of property, raising up the property values, and whereas people can't afford and rent's going up, you also got to monitor how rents are going up. And so some of the current practices that folks are doing is that inside of these larger apartment dwellings, especially inside of Ward B, inside of an area like along Belmont and Gifford, where you have a large housing stock, what folks are doing is they are allowing the current residents to live inside of unsatisfactory conditions, where so that these residents can eventually move, and then they'll come in and renovate, and then they'll charge higher prices and higher rents. So we got to monitor the practices of of developers and owners, building owners, home, you know, the people who own homes, because they are increasing the value of rents and making it unaffordable for the residents here in Jersey City. We also, I'm in line with Bill Mazzacutis and actually taking inventory of the affordable housing stock that we have inside of the city and really kind of like gearing that towards Jersey City residents, giving them like places, like we need an office of affordable housing where people can go and actually gain housing and be, you know, and utilize those lists very much effectively so that people can have housing. And not just that, like seniors are actually being displaced too, because when you have senior citizens living on fixed incomes, affordability it's key for them too. So they need a bank of housing where they can go to and look for quality, affordable housing, and because it's across the board, you know.
I see. So in your campaign website, GadsonForWardB.com, you emphasize that you want the Jersey City Department of Recreations to work more closely with Jersey City Public Schools so that youths can be engaged in more constructive activities. So, so say you get your wish and that does happen. How do you wish? How do you want it to play out? Like, how would they be working together?
Are they working together? As such, this summer they began the conversation on kind of like, you know, combined services, meaning that we have the buildings, Jersey City Recreation has the funding to employ folks inside of the community to keep the buildings open, a little longer so that we have sporting activities, so we can have, clubs, we can have training, we can have academic empowerment, we can have just a whole lot of services that our students and our children need in Jersey City. But I just think that, just that collaboration of just keeping the buildings open a little later and providing the activities to get the kids off the street, to keep them engaged, to give parents, some resources at their disposal would make a nice, combination.
So now on to a little bit of policing and crime in the city. So both you and Bill Matsikoudis have voiced your support for community policing in favor of police patrols. So could you explain why you feel that community policing is more favorable than the regular police patrols?
Well, I mean, police patrols are a part of community policing, but it's just one facet of it. You know, when you start talking about community policing, what you're talking about is key stakeholders being at the table, addressing the problems that the community face. All right, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about key stakeholders. So some of the things that I've been doing over the last 11 months since I've been councilman was working with the captains of the various districts inside of Ward B, the West and the South, and adding more, collaborators to the meetings, like more community service brokers, more community agencies, more people who can actually assist law enforcement while they're out here on the streets. See, because we can make arrests and, we can hold people accountable like that. But when you start talking long-term solutions, one of the programs that I'm looking forward to having in Jersey City is, the cure violence model, where inside of the high pocket areas where a lot of violent crimes are occurring and shootings and just, some of the, homicides that are taking place, we can treat violence like it is, like it's a mental, it's a public health, it's an illness, and sometimes you got to treat that. Sometimes you got to get to the, to the root of the problem inside of the community. And so that's what I'm looking forward, to doing, and helping to work with the key stakeholders, the city, and some of my friends had modeled it down in Booker T, and trying to model it down in the Marion Project, where they empower the people in the community to become violence interrupters, to become just peacekeepers, so to speak, so that they can, because they have the pulse of the community, and law enforcement and people alike have to rely upon the ground troops in order to get some of the problems solved inside of the community. Because it's real easy for police to make arrests, but it's another thing for us to be accountable to what's going on in our community. Another thing that we need in our community is more block associations and more block watches. We have to empower the residents to take ownership of where they live and hold other people accountable in their neighborhoods. And so that's a full multi-prong approach into dealing with crime inside of the city. Because when we look at, and me, I always like to talk about crime like holistically, because over the past 20 years, our social policy, how we developed the city, has led itself to crime being confined to a certain area in Hudson County. Now, when you start looking at crime, you got to look at it as such to say, like, if Jersey City has 20 murders, all right, about 16 of them have occurred on the south side of the city. Now, if Hudson County has 20, Jersey City is accounting for 16, with the bulk of them occurring on one section of a county. And that's because of just how whatever people have been forced to live, socioeconomic factors, people being displaced from the former projects of Montgomery, Lafayette, and people moving up on the hill. And this is causing strain and stress on the community, which is allowing whatever these things to fester. Crime, violent crimes happen in areas of that don't have a lot of resources. Hmm. And there's always a correlation like that. So that's what's going on inside of Jersey City. And we need to, reasonably develop an area where we can provide resources of jobs, we can provide hope, we can educate our children properly, they can see the end game and everything that they're doing. And this is how you effectively deal with crime and violence and just the quality of life inside of the community. The more money you make, the more education you have, the less likely you'll be a victim of violent crimes. Hmm.
So, speaking of violent crimes and all that, so you're aware that there's a rising homicide rate in Jersey City, which has seemingly doubled in the last 4 years. Yeah. What factors do you attribute to this rise?
Well, like I said, I mean, that's just the plight of urban America. It's a trend that's in Chicago. It's a trend that's in Philadelphia. It's a trend that's in Newark. It's a trend that was in Camden. It's a trend that happens inside of areas where there's no resources. And, you know, crime festers like that. You know, in Jersey City, like I alluded to prior, we've created this condition. We've allowed certain groups of people to live on top of each other with the same vices that are destroying urban America, like guns and the drugs and just the whole pocket. You don't go to Montclair and whatever and see the avenue whatever with all sorts of drugs and guns. Like the frequency of our youth today, you know, just shooting at each other, it's just astounding. Like it's crazy. We never grew up like this in Jersey City. We never grew up like this in Jersey City. But the availability of guns and the frequency of the shootings, it's alarming, you know. But that's because, you know, social conditions have been are such that it's allowing itself to happen. Whereas now, I believe in some cases the police are acting as gatekeepers, because the violence is pretty much confined to one area of a city and of a county. It's really that serious.
Okay, so let's move on to our last block, which has a couple more questions. So, what do you feel is the biggest cause for concern in this city? And what would you propose as a solution to this problem?
What do you mean biggest concern?
Like, cause for concern, what do you feel is the biggest problem in the city?
I think the biggest problem in the city deals with the economic situation of our city. You know, the division of the haves and have-nots. When you look at the south side of the city, and you start looking at income disparity, and you look at this side of the town that we're sitting in currently right now, the average median income is about $35,000. You travel down Montgomery and you go into the downtown area, Exchange Place, you go into Ward E, median income is about $80,000. So there's a $40,000 income gap within a couple of blocks. And so it's not rocket science. Like, your schools, the more resources children have and families have, the better their students perform. And so in Jersey City, we use this thing called failing schools. Well, most of the schools that are failing, quote unquote, are located inside of areas where there's income disparity. The more money you make, the more the better students perform. And so our community needs resources like jobs. We need training. We need to make sure that our children are ready for a 21st century global economy so that they can bring forth the resources to take care of their families and to build up their community. Then we have to provide incentives for those who are already here to have a stake inside of the community. We need more home ownership. Because that's showing you that the community is thriving, you know? So all those things are, I think, is the biggest. Because here's the problem. The problem is because the residents currently right now who don't have the economic means to build up their community and to take care of their families, they're being displaced by people who actually are able to do it. So those people are coming over, gobbling up property, and then eventually saying, this is the life that I want to live in the place that you used to live. Mm-hmm. And that's scary.
Really is. Okay, so a little bit more into your campaign. Why do you feel like voters should vote for you again? Because this is your second time running. Well, after your first successful time.
I know, but I only had 11 months. And I'm very, yes, and I'm very grateful for the mayor for advocating to extending the term. Because I had a lot more opportunity to learn. Jersey City and Ward B and everywhere else need more conscious, independent thinking type of leadership that is going to challenge and question what is taking place inside of our city. And I believe that I'm the best candidate inside of my ward to do that because of the work that I've put into, because of my experience, because of my background, my expertise, and what I've done. And I think I'm just scratching the surface on leadership, but the city really needs that type of leadership, and I can lead the ward and Jersey City in that direction.
So you said you were councilman for how long? Like
about 11 months.
Yeah, for like 11 months. Okay, so that's a pretty short period of time, especially as somebody in a council. So, like, this may be an off-ball question, but what do you feel like so far is your biggest accomplishment while in office? Or what moment are you proud of the most?
Proud of the most? Well, I alluded to this prior to becoming council person, and we talk about gentrification and we talk about displacement. A lot of residents were feeling the pressure to sell their homes and be forced out of their homes. So myself and a group of other, you know, community leaders, we led the movement to eventually, that led to the no-knock ordinance that took place. So being on the civic side and then being councilman to vote on legislation that will help address some of the aggressive, malicious home-stealing practices that were occurring and that still are occurring was very much rewarding and fulfilling, because it showed that when we have a people agenda and legislation is crafted on the behalf of the people, that is just like the direction where I want to take my leadership over the next couple of years, you know. So that was one of the biggest other moments, you know, working with other council people to make sure that Jersey City is a sanctuary city, advocating on the behalf of Jersey City residents to ensure and to make sure that we are employed, jobs, you know, lending voice to that. It's just a lot of things, whatever, that I'm proud of. And I look forward to extending on these efforts over the next 4 years, because it only will get better for the people.
Yeah. All right. Final question. Yep. Last one. What sets you apart from the typical politicians? Because there are a lot of different types of politicians out there, and each type says a certain things depending on the type. What sets you apart from those sorts of politicians?
I think what sets me apart is that I don't see myself as a politician, and that's just hard at times because people see me as a politician, but I don't even see myself as a politician. I see myself more so as a servant. I see myself as an advocate. I see myself as providing a needed service for thousands of people. I'm different because I'm a little bit more forthright, a little bit more transparent, because I really don't have nothing to hide. I really, like, what you see is what you get. And a lot of times, you know, politicians, you know, hide behind agendas. You know, sometimes, you know, our council doesn't flex the independence that it needs or the consciousness of the people that it needs to. So, you know, I bring that, you know, and people find that refreshing. That's the reason why I'm elected. I'm elected because people know that I'm trustworthy. People know that I'm forthright, and people know that I'm going to speak my mind, but I'm going to not just for my individual purpose, but because the people need that voice. And so that's just, you know, separates me from the fray a little bit, the average politician, you know.
All right then. Well, that's all the time we have and all the questions, frankly. So I want to thank you, Chris, for being here, for taking this and answering all these questions. Good luck with your campaign, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
All right. That's all we
have. Hut Info News. Information and news for the people. If you're silent, others will speak for you.